Amen. All right. So first and foremost, I want to thank our pastor for this opportunity to preach and everyone here for coming on this great trip. So far, we've had 81 salvations so far. So praise the Lord for that. And I'm thankful to be here as well. Now, what I'd like to preach to you today briefly on is the subject of faith. Now, of course, that's a very broad subject. You know, there are different types of faith. You know, we know about the faith that it takes to get saved, of course, saving faith. That's not what I'm going to be preaching about today. I want to preach to you today about, you know, the type of faith where you read something in the Bible and you believe it for what it is. You know, you read about God's promises to us and then you take it for what it is. You believe in it. You have faith in that. And, for example, how, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a promise that God has made to us, that whenever we go through hard times, God will be with us through those hard times. You know, as long as we're, you know, following him and we're saved and we love the Lord and we're trying our best, that he's going to be with us and he's going to lead us through that valley of the shadow of death. So specifically, I want to talk about believing in God, having faith in God whenever bad things happen. Now, the title of my sermon today is Faith Through the Storm. Faith Through the Storm. So, of course, we all have storms in our lives. We have bad things that we go through. And we're going to take a look at a few of the examples of storms in the Bible. We have many stories in the Bible about storms. So now you're there in Matthew chapter 8. And then I'm going to start reading to you in verse 23. Look down, if you would, at verse 23. Now, this is the famous story, and it says in verse 23, it says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves." So, first and foremost, what I want to point out is that they're in a ship, and the storm comes, as it often does. However, notice that first, it says that the disciples followed him, followed Jesus, right? So, they're following the Lord. They're, you know, they're serving the Lord. They're following him. That's why they're in the ship in the first place. And then guess what happens? A storm comes. And oftentimes we face tribulations and persecutions in our lives, and storms will come. Bad things will happen whenever we're serving the Lord, as we're following Jesus, right? And it says, "And behold," in verse 24, it says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves." So this is a big storm. You know, we have little storms, we have big storms. This is a big one where the entire ship is covered in waves. In the parallel verses, in I think Mark chapter 4, it says that the waves beat upon the ship and filled it. It was full. So it was taken on water, it was full of water. And so this is a very scary situation that they're in. And then it says, but then it goes on to say, after it says that it was covered with the waves, look down if you would at the end of verse 24, it says, "But he," referring to Jesus, "was asleep." Now, we're going to see in this next verse, in verse 25, that the disciples, they're panicking. They're trying to do whatever they can to fix the situation. But notice the two attitudes. You know, the disciples, on one hand, they're trying to fix everything. They're you know, doing everything that they can. But Jesus, what is he doing? You know, he's asleep. He's asleep in the bowels of the ship. In the parallel passage, it says that he's asleep on a pillow, just emphasizing the fact that, you know, Jesus isn't worried about this. He's got this under control. But of course, the disciples, they're lacking in faith in this story. And so they're freaking out. They're doing everything that they can. And then finally, whenever all hope is lost, look down if you would at verse 25. It says, "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish." Okay? So look, this is what I want to point out about that. It's not we are going to perish. It's not we're having a really bad time. It's not, oh, we're hurt. It's we perish, like right now. Like, they've lost all hope. You know, they've waited this long before they actually go and get Jesus. You know, they should have gotten him sooner. They should have gotten him whenever the storm first came, or maybe the storm was on the horizon, or something like that. But no, they waited until every possible alternative was exhausted, and then they came to Jesus with it. You know, they did everything that they could beforehand. And here's the thing about that. You know, we need to take everything to the Lord in prayer. You know, whenever we're having a hard time, whenever bad things are happening to us, the first thing that we need to do is go to Jesus. Not the last thing. Not whenever we perish. It's back whenever we are perishing, or we're about to perish, I mean. Or, you know, bad things are happening. You know, the point that I'm making is that we should go to him first. We shouldn't wait till the end. That shouldn't be our last resort, you know. But it was for them. You know, it's basically the proverbial, you know, whenever you're drowning, right? You know, they tell you, you know, if you're drowning, if you're having a hard time, then call out for help. But, you know, oftentimes, you know, that doesn't happen. You know, the person in the water who's having a hard time, they're like, oh, I can fix this. I can try to, you know, I'm trying, you know. And then water gets in their mouth and then they're like, oh, no. And then at that point, they can't call out. And that's how it happens a lot of times. Whenever they could have just called out for help sooner, but then they just tried to fix it themselves and then they didn't ask for help. See, and never be afraid to ask somebody to help you. You know, and in this context, in this sermon, ask Jesus. Take it to Jesus alone. And look it down, if you would, at verse 26, because Jesus is going to give them a piece of his mind. It says, "Why are you?" And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" So he's basically reproving them, and he's saying, "Look, you have little faith. You don't have a lot of faith." And he says, "Why are you fearful?" So I want you to notice those two distinct differences. You've got faith on one side, and then you've got fearful on the other. They had little faith, so they were fearful. And see, that's the thing. We have faith and we have fear, and we shouldn't have fear. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, the disciples here could have had a sound mind if they had just talked to Jesus, if they had just given their problems to him and let him know what was going on. But of course, Jesus already knew, but he was asleep. So he wasn't even worried about it. Okay? And of course, I'm applying this to our lives because in the actual story, you know, and then let's see what Jesus does next. In verse 26, it says, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So then he rebukes the waves and sea, and there was a calm. Now, it doesn't say that he sent the storm away or that he stopped the storm. It's just that it's calm. And in our lives, you know, whenever we take it to Jesus in prayer, whenever we tell Jesus about the bad things that are going on in our lives, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's just going to go away automatically. But what it does mean is that we can have a sound mind, that we can have a great calm in our heart, in our life, and we can just accept those things and just try to move forward and, you know, do the best that we can to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that we're in. So let's look at the next part of this story. So then that's the end of that story, but I want you to now turn to Matthew chapter 14. Now, you know, we talked about that first story where Jesus was asleep. Now I want to talk to you about faith through the storm, you know, how they had faith or their lack thereof in Matthew chapter 14. Now over in Matthew chapter 14, this is the famous story where Jesus is walking on the water. So once again, you know, we have a ship, we have storms. And look down, if you would, at verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side." So once again, they're following Jesus. They're doing what he told them to do. Okay, same concept. "While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." So there's your storm. All right, they're in the storm, and they're in the ship. And then in verse 25, it says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, for they cried out for fear." So there you go again. That's that operative word again, is fear. Right? We're talking about faith. They had fear. Okay? Now let's continue. It says in verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." So I want you to remember that phrase, be of good cheer. We're going to talk about that later. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they had no reason to be afraid because Jesus was there. And he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And we can have that same assurance that we don't have to be afraid whenever bad things happen to us in our lives, whenever we face hard situations because we're serving the Lord. Hey, we don't need to be afraid. We need to be of good cheer because Jesus is with us, right? And in verse 28, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come." So Peter's very zealous. He wants to follow the Lord even onto the water, okay? "And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous," look at this next part, look at this next phrase. "And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So once again, Peter is afraid here. We're talking about fear versus faith. And he's afraid, and not only that, he begins to sink. And that's how we feel sometimes whenever bad things happen to us, is we're afraid and our heart begins to sink. Have you ever heard that term before? You know, my heart is sinking, like, oh man, you know, this is just terrible and I don't know what to do about it, and it's bad news or whatever. And you know, that's maybe a parallel that you can draw there. But he says, and he cried saying, Lord, save me. So I want to show you that he did one thing right and one thing wrong. You know, the thing that he did wrong was the fact that he was afraid in the first place. He should not have been afraid. He knew that Jesus told him to go into the ship, and then he knew that Jesus told him to go out into the water. So he should not have been afraid to have done that, but then he got afraid. That was the wrong thing that he did. He had that fear. But the right thing that he did was that he said, Lord, save me. See, whenever we call out to the Lord, he's gonna help us. You know, we're saved, we're following the Lord, we're trying our best, we're doing what we can, but of course the storms are gonna come. You know, it's inevitable that they're gonna come. And then all we have to do is say, Lord, save me. And look at this, it says, and immediately, I like that, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. See, Jesus didn't wait for a little while or anything. He immediately came to his aid, because Jesus loves us and he wants to take care of us and he wants to pull us out of these hard situations, or at least calm us in them. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So earlier he said, oh, ye of little faith, so you guys of little faith. That was more of a reproof, but now it's more of like a rebuke. Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So now, you know, because we've already gone through this lesson. We've already been on a ship. We've already been through the storm. And, you know, you only came to me at the last, as the last resort. And so now he's saying, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He didn't get the message, because now they're on a new boat. When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. So see, Jesus, he miraculously stopped the storm this time. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And so I want to point out that as well. You know, that should be our reaction. Whenever Jesus helps us through these storms in life, whenever he helps us through these bad things that happen in our lives, what's the first thing that we need to do? We need to worship him. We need to, you know, praise him for getting us out of this hard situation that he has gotten us into, or that we've gotten into, and just helping us through that. And we should worship him. That's the first thing that we should do. You know, the first thing that we should do whenever something bad happens is go to him, ask him for help, and then as soon as it's resolved, or as soon as we have that peace in our heart that surpasseth all understanding, we need to worship him after that. Now, I want you to turn to Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. Now, this is another story about a ship and a storm and everything that's a little less well known, I think. But this is the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, in Acts 27. And of course, he's sailing across the sea. And if you look down there in verse 9, we're going to start reading this story. And it's going to have a lot of parallels with the other two that we've already looked at. It's going to involve faith and fear. Now, look down, if you would, at verse number 9. It says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in ship, but also of our lives. So the first thing that I want you to take notice of is the fact that Paul is warning them, I don't think we should go on this, in fact, I know that we should not go on this voyage, because of the fact that it's dangerous. So basically, he's telling them not to go, because we're going to be in danger of our lives. But look at this next part. In verse 11, it says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So at the beginning of the sermon, we talk about what faith is. It's reading something in the Bible, reading a promise that God has for us, and just not believe and believing it. That's what faith is. And then if we don't believe it, if we have fear, if we have doubts, then that's not believing it, and that's not having faith. And in this verse right here, this centurion is not having faith in what Paul is saying, right? And we're making parallels and everything about that. But basically, he's not believing what Paul is saying. He's believing more what the master and owner of the ship is saying. Hey, I need the ship to get out here for the money or whatever. And so they didn't believe Paul. They didn't have the faith in what Paul was saying. Now let's keep going. It says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, Morpart advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lie toward the south, west, and northwest. Okay. And it says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they sailed close by Crete. In verse 14, it says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclida. So here we see that Paul is right. You know, here comes the storm. This is the storm right here. That a tempestuous wind came, and it's called Euroclida. Now we're going to skip some verses. We're going to go down to verse 20. So look down at verse 20, because it's just got some more details about the third day and the next day and all that stuff, the days of the week. So look down, if you would, at verse 20. It says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. So it's not a small tempest, it's a big tempest. It's a big storm, right? All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They didn't have hope that they were going to make it out of this. Just like from that first story that we talked about in Matthew chapter 8, they had lost all hope. Okay, but let's see what happens next. It was all taken away. All their hope had been taken away. It's been many days now. But verse 21, it says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be firm. Sorry. What verse was that? That was 22. Thank you. I lost my place. So, 22, starting at the verse, it says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So, here Paul is giving them a positive message, saying basically, hey, look, nobody's going to lose their life. But the ship, it's going to be lost. You guys didn't listen to me at the beginning. The ship is going to be lost. You know, you guys are going to suffer some setbacks and everything for not listening to me at the beginning. But hey, listen, you're still going to be saved. Okay? That's what he's telling them now. And then it says, but of the ship, verse 23, it says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, listen to this. This is the key verse right here. Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. That's exactly the same words that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 8. He said, hey, be not afraid, be of good cheer, right? It's the same verses, it's the same word, okay? So Paul is paralleling Jesus from the other one. It says, wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God. There's that belief, there's that faith in God and what he has said, what he has promised. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. So see, Paul is not having an issue here. It's the other people who are having issues. And basically, but Paul is telling them that their lives are going to be spared, and he says, be of good cheer. And that's exactly what Jesus said from the other one. Now let's jump down to verse 29. So it gives a few more details in between. But in verse 29, it says, then fearing. So once again, they're still afraid. It says, then fearing. They still have fear. They're still afraid. Then fearing, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. So they're trying to escape the ship. They're trying to jump out. That's not what Paul said, though. Paul said that their lives would be spared, but they just need to stay in the ship. And if we keep reading, then you'll see that the soldiers actually listen to him this time. So, you know, but they're still afraid, though. But he says that if you jump out of the ship, then you're not going to be saved. He said you cannot be saved. So they're going to listen to him this time. Finally, they finally get the message. Now let's skip down to verse 41. Verse 41, we're going to skip down. And then it says, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And look at this next part, verse 44, this is the last verse of the chapter. It says, and the rest of the people, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all save the land. So, you know, what Paul said was correct. And what Paul said, it actually came to pass that every single one of them survived. It says that they all escaped safe to land. So they made it. They made it. And what Paul said was true. And you know what? We can have the same assurance that what the Bible says is true in our lives. You know, in Psalm 23, I quoted it earlier, but it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." See, in all of these passages, what's going on? You know, Jesus is with the disciples. Jesus is with them. And Paul is with these guys, and he's trying to help them. He's telling them, you know, what to do and everything. And all they need is to have faith in what he said. And so my message to you is, whenever you go through these hard times in your lives, you know, whenever, you know, storms assail you and everything, whenever you're serving the Lord and whenever you truly love the Lord and bad things happen, just trust in him and just take your cares to him and him alone. And he will protect you. He will save you from those storms. Just don't be afraid. You know, that's what you got to do. You got to not be afraid about it. And just pray. Just take everything to the Lord in prayer. So that's what I have for you guys today. So just please bow your head, and we're going to end with a prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that my sermon would have been edifying to someone. And I just pray that we would all keep this in our minds, that whenever we're going through hard times in our lives, that we just seek you first, and we don't get afraid. You know, we don't get bogged down with all these bad emotions and fear and doubts, but that we would just trust you, because you're going to lead us through it, Lord, if we just seek you and you seek your face, Lord, in times of trouble. And just please help everyone to get this message. It's a very important message. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.